Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game, we be MVP. Knowledge is power, lend an ear for the next hour. And tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. Cause we the best, numero uno, we like the sumo. Up against the straw weight, our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the squared circle and all. You shanky on the mic, mixed with Jinder Mahal. And we some Paul Heymans, had enough that you could say when. Until then, we gon' keep killing.
Champs are back in the living room. Mr. Just Right behind the mic, as usual. With me, as always, my boy, the Lioness, Lenny Biggs. Lenny, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. It's a great time of year. The NFL's back. WWE keeps rolling now under TKO as of today, as of this morning.
Wow.
TKO Holdings, UFC and WWE merger is official. So. That's some breaking news as of today.
Oh, yeah, that's a good little nugget there. I didn't see that. I got some breaking news too, Len.
Yeah.
Ready? A couple pieces of news, actually. Aaron Rodgers, out.
Out. He's not back. He's gone.
CM Punk, out.
Yes.
CM Nick is in. The living room. CM Nick, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I guess that moniker didn't hold water very long, but I'll wear it like a badge of honor or a Pepsi tattoo, if you will.
That's right. What does CM even stand for, by the way?
Chicago made.
Oh, wow. Of course. I should have known that. Yeah. I should have known that. Well, CM Nick, you really popped the ratings last time. Similar to your buddy there, Punk. So we had to bring you back. And what we're going to do tonight... We're going to talk football first.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk a little wrestling at the end. So, you know, if you don't.
Little two for one.
Little two for one. Yeah. Stairway will be recording tomorrow. I got a lot of editing to do, a lot of swearing. I got to edit out of tomorrow's Stairway podcast. So we're going to combine the football and the wrestling. So if you want to stick around for the wrestling, feel free to do so after we make our week two picks. But to recap week one before we get started on week two, Glenn, you came out ahead and you're ahead to start the season. You had a 10-6 record. I below 500, one of the first, I don't know if I've ever had a below 500 week in these picks, honestly. Few and far between, anyway. 7-9, you have a 3-game lead out the gate, almost insurmountable as history shows as the season goes on. It's going to be very hard for me to catch up to you. You might be looking at back-to-back season championships here with that kind of start. Man, in this slate of games, honestly, there's a lot of toss-ups here, boys. There's a lot of toss-ups. Heading into week two, you know, just some very even matchups, I think, across the board. And anything, you guys got anything in your mind before we get started here?
Week one, to me, is one of the biggest overreaction weeks of the year because you think all these teams – are one thing coming into the season.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh, this team's going to be good this year. This team's going to be bad. This quarterback, whatever. And then week one kind of sometimes turns that on its head, as we both of our teams found out in Seattle and Pittsburgh. So, I think this is a week in picks where you have to be careful not to overreact to what happened in week one and forget what happened, you know, all offseason, what your thoughts were. Maybe just kind of balance those two things out together so you don't get – too far off on a team just because they had a bad week one.
That's a very good point, Len. Try not to overreact. Try not to get emotional, not to keep that in mind as we make this pick. CM Nick, any thoughts on week one before we get on week two?
It was a rough one. I also went 7-9 in a weekly pool I'm in. It was a rough one, only going up from here, though. And the unders were hitting, though, for those legal sports betting fans.
You know, that's a good point, Nick. I was telling my wife this. I don't know why I was telling her this. She probably wasn't even listening, but right. I said I cannot believe how just a few years ago gambling, sports betting in particular, was illegal.
Yeah,
and now you literally cannot get away from it.
It's so much. It's crazy the difference. You're right. I mean, there was literally probably less than 5 years ago, there was a consensus, I would say, among sports pundits and just people in general that like sports betting would never be like legalized, you know, like everywhere, and like there'd be no way that the NFL or ESPN would partner with DraftKings or FanDuel or anything. Like probably like 5 or 7 years ago, people were the other way, and now every single person gambles pretty much on these games, and it's nuts. Like it's every single place.
Yeah, it's wild. It's one vice I'm glad I haven't developed yet, because I would surely get hooked on it. Yeah, that's for sure.
So. It's just a $5 scratcher here and there.
Oh yeah. I teetered on it before, but I gotta stay away from it. I have too much of an addictive personality. All right, boys. So
let's do this.
Yeah, Thursday night on Prime Video. Mm-hmm. Which is who now, Len? Who's on Prime Video?
Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit back for year two here.
Yeah. Okay. Who else do they have? They got another pundit there.
Well, they had them on the pre-show last year. They had Fitzpatrick, Richard Sherman.
That's right.
And I don't know if those people are back because Sherman's now working on Skip Bayless's show. Ugh. And what's his name? The other person, Fitzpatrick's been doing a lot of like fan webs, and I think he's been on ESPN.
He was on Manning Cast last
year. Yeah, so I'm not sure what his role is, if he'll be back. But that was a pretty good pre-show, actually. They had those two. Maybe Joe Thomas was on there or something, too. It was actually, I thought Sherman and Fitzpatrick added a little bit something to a pre-show, like with some pretty good takes. I mean, Sherman's a good pundit, I think. Mm. You know what I mean? He has that kind of personality. He does pretty good at it. I don't know. I mean, him and Skip, give me a break. There's no way I'm tuning into that show. That show's horrendous, but... I still like Sherman, but I hope he's still on Amazon because they worked pretty well last year.
And that was their first year, right?
Yeah.
They got off to a run and start.
Yeah.
Yeah, this TV schedule, honestly. Now, football's got it pretty tight. They got it pretty locked down, right? I feel like every other sport, hockey, Debo, the Penguins, they just bought out ATT SportsMed. No idea if we're going to be able to watch them again this year. Pirates, same thing. We have no idea whether they're going to be on TV next year. It's just a shit show.
Yeah, it's wild.
NFL, ahead of the curve as always, just making smart decisions in their broadcast.
NFL's broadcast rights are worth just like, it'll be probably in the trillions here pretty soon, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. So that brings us to Thursday night's game on Prime Video at the Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. The Eagles, who escaped with a victory in Foxborough last week, week one, narrowly, probably shouldn't have won that game. They snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. They are playing host to the Minnesota Vikings, who fell last week in a surprise game against Tampa Bay. As is tradition, our first guest of the year, CM Nick, this one's on you. Who do you got? Minnesota, Philly.
A fly, Eagles fly, going with chalk.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, you know, this game's interesting because you're not, this is an easy one you could overreact to, but the Eagles came out hot, red hot out of the gates, up 16-0. They really had the Patriots on their heels. I thought it was just going to be a blowout. It seemed like it was going to be like a lot of other games we saw, but it wasn't. The Pats did come all the way back and easily could have won that game for sure. So I think the Eagles probably have some things they'd like to improve on for sure. And I think that the Vikings, tough loss at home against Tampa. That's tough. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Philly also. Didn't like what I saw out of Minnesota this week. Although, again, they put up numbers and stuff, but just some costly turnovers. I'm going to go Eagles though.
Yeah, I feel like I should take Minnesota here to try and claw back into this overall record, but I'm going to go chalk too and take the Eagles at home. That crowd's going to be all fired up. High expectations for this team. Good teams find a way to win. They did. Questionable play call on that Jalen Hurts sneak that caused that fumble to allow them to get back into the game last week. So you got to think they clean things like that up. They signed a couple middle linebackers. They put Nakobe Dean on IR, so they're getting a little dinged up already there in Philly, but they're going to walk away with the victory here. Next up, we got the good-looking Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome with the best prices at the concession stands in the league. Very reasonable there in the ATL. Hot Atlanta, home of young prodigy Austin Theory, right? He's from there.
Yes.
Home of... Len, T.I. is from the ATL.
Outkast.
Yeah. Big hip-hop scene there in the ATL. Hip-hop, rap, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
50 years.
50 years of hip-hop.
50 years of hip-hop.
I've been listening for probably about 42 of those. Yeah. One of those. I don't know, 40.
Shout out to our good friend Chris Clack, a pioneer in the game, as well as the manager of Harbor Freight, John McLaughlin.
Elementary.
Good friends. Yeah, elementary. Yeah.
Those guys are awesome for sure.
Yeah, they're no doubt they're on good terms.
Du Bois legends. A couple of Du Bois legends.
Yeah, the backbones of hip hop and the Du Bois scene. All right, the Packers at the Falcons. Ooh. Falcons narrowly escaped with a victory over the Panthers, correct, last week?
They won pretty handily. I think they had a game in hand.
I think it was only won by 3 points, but yeah.
No. It was like 25-7 or something, I feel like.
Really?
I'll double check that. I feel like that was a big win for the Falcons. Maybe 24-7 or something.
Bryce Love, very mid, I guess, in his opener. 24-10, you're right. I was thinking of it.
First half was close, I'm pretty sure, but then it got away.
That's why I must have been thinking of the first half.
Yeah, so anyway, Atlanta, Green Bay, what do you think, Mike?
I'm going to take the Pack in this one on the road against my better judgment. Honestly, Len, who do you got?
Yeah, I'm going Packers. I like Green Bay, obviously, in the poll picks. I told you, they're going to win the division. I thought they were going to win the division. I think that Green Bay's good, really good. And Aaron Jones is super underrated and really good. Jordan Love looks good. The defense is talented. I think Green Bay is going to be really good this year. And I think Atlanta is going to battle it out. And for the NFC South, it's going to be probably a pretty tight, ugly division.
Yeah.
But I like Green Bay here on the road against Atlanta.
CM Nick.
It's a consensus. Go Pack, go.
Wow. You can see that game on Fox. Tickets as low as $68, guys.
Probably won't see it on Fox unless you live in Atlanta or Green Bay, would be my guess. It's not a national game, that's for sure.
Just talk to our buddy Robbie. He can get you the game no matter what.
Right, but I only watch local broadcasts or the
road over now. The air.
Yeah, right. Scheme away. I'm an Xfinity consumer. I'm a cable customer, buddy. I pay them their exorbitant amount of money every month to see whatever channels I want. Outrageous amount of money. I do pay them. And I actually just watch Red Zone all day generally, but it's only $10 a month.
Honestly, with as much as I'm paying for with everything else, I might as well just bend over for Comcast if we can get it, but we can't.
Yeah.
Just to watch the Penguins this year. Get your ticket, $68. Get your hamburgers.
Big platter for $20 at that concession. That's a,
cheap.
Me and Webb looked at it. We had to look a couple times to see if it was true because that seemed it's like. True. I know. That's a crazy amount of food at a concession stand that's for
smart.
$20.
Smart.
It is.
It really
smart.
Is. It really is. Okay. Moving on here. The Las Vegas Raiders and Jimmy G.
First place Raiders.
Yep. Walk into Orchard Park to visit the Bills, who are coming off a very disappointing loss last night to the New York Jets. Highmark Stadium, get your tickets for $149 for the Bills opener on CBS. Len, who do you got in this one?
Yeah, not real impressed with Josh Allen last night. I mean, a terrible performance. I mean, he's known to throw in picks. He threw three terrible picks in this game, and he's just so crazy the way he runs the ball and takes hits for absolutely no reason. Yeah. I mean, he ran for like an 8 yard first down and he could have just stepped out of bounds and he like took the biggest hit for one more yard right beside the sideline. It's so silly. I can't believe it. He does it and stays healthy. So I don't know. The Bills were not impressive last night. They lost an upset to the Jets, and then the Raiders did play well. I was impressed with the Raiders. They won a narrow win over the Broncos. The Broncos really handed them that game in a couple ways, too. They missed an extra point and a field goal with their new kicker, Will Lutz. And then the dirty hit on Jacoby Myers went on a third down that would have forced a punt. They'd have the ball back with a chance to win. Russ actually played well for the Broncos. So the Raiders looked pretty good. I have to go with Buffalo here because Buffalo can't start 0-2, though. So I just think Buffalo is going to find a way to win this game at home.
Yep, CM Nick.
Well, Buffalo is typically a slow starting team. I know 2 years ago, Pittsburgh with not the best team and Ben with a noodle arm beat them. So, and I'm pretty sure they lost game one last year as well. But they're going to turn it around. I'm taking the Bills.
Yeah, I'm going to take Buffalo here as well. Pitt alumnus Jordan Whitehead isn't playing in this game to pick off Josh Allen three times. So just another Pitt superstar. It's just that while we're on the topic here, Pitt, just what a fucking miserable game from them on Saturday night. My God, the spotlight's on them. You got West Virginia next week. You got some high hopes. Phil Jurkovec, honestly, was the most stereotypical Pitt quarterback I've ever seen. Maybe one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. Thrice transferred quarterback walking into Pitt in his sixth year. Fucking typical bullshit from Pat Narduzzi. The stadium's half full. Fucking Kenny Pickett was a savior for that program. I mean, bring it to relevancy. Narduzzi's such a fraud. I'm so sick of that. Then their players come to the NFL, and I know where they play fucking amazing. Yeah. That's, you just kind of wondered. All right, boys. So we all have the same pick so far, Philly, Green Bay, Buffalo.
Okay.
AFC North matchup, very disappointing game. You got to question Joe Burrow's health from the Bengals. They play host to the Ravens, who came away with a win. Paycor Stadium in Cincinnati. Not Paul Brown Stadium. Must be Paycor Stadium at Paul Brown Field or something like that.
Probably, yeah.
Right?
They got that new indoor practice facility. Changing the game.
Yeah, Paul, he finally ponied up for something there.
Yeah.
So the Bengals off to a disappointing start. 1 o'clock on CBS. Ravens at Bengals. CM Nick.
As much as it pains me to say, I'm going with the Shitbirds here. Ravens.
Yep. Yep, I agree with you there. I'm going to take Baltimore on the road. They look decent. I still think they're the class of I still think they're going to win a division. I believe I picked them as a division winner in the AFC North. I did, yes. So
yeah, I think I picked Cincinnati to win the division, if I'm not mistaken.
You did.
Yeah, and I'm going to pick Cincinnati in this game based on absolutely nothing at all, because they gave me no reason to believe they're going to win this week after the game they played last week. I mean, T. Higgins had zero catches, 82 yards for Joe Burrow. I mean, I don't know. If he's hurt, then he's really hurt, because that was a putrid performance all the way around for the Bengals. And the Ravens played well enough to win, and Zay Flowers looks like a legitimate player there. Mm-hmm. So they did lose J.K. Dobbins for the season. Torn Achilles.
Par for the course.
So very, very good chance J.K. Dobbins is done in this league. Unfortunately for him, just can't seem to stay healthy. When he was on the field, he's a pretty solid runner. But they got two touchdowns from Justice Hill last week. They had Melvin Gordon on their practice squad. They'll probably just activate him. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Ravens will be solid. I just think the Bengals have to win, so I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad pick at all. I mean, they're going to bounce back eventually. You're not going to see that kind of game from them very often. And you're right, Len, losing Dobbins is a decent hit for them. But they got 15 running backs. They got Buck Allen. They got Justin Forsett ready to go.
Gus Edwards.
He's a perfectly competent runner. And I see the Ravens pulling this one out. They looked pretty good on either side of the ball.
They did play well, yeah. I just think since he has to win.
Yeah, that's one I can see going either way, honestly. All right, Len, this is your big internal conflict here. Your Seahawks going in 93,000 strong at the Silver Dome to visit the LRC Lions, fresh off defeating the defending champions. Who do you got, Len?
Yeah, this is brutal, man. I mean, the Lions, big win over Kansas City Thursday. I thought they played well, but not great, to be honest. They got a pick six off of Tony's hands and then two offensive touchdowns. They had to do a fake punt in their own end zone end to do it. So I don't think the Lions looked that great offensively. They did play pretty solid defensively, which was a little bit promising. The Seahawks, on the other hand, played like absolute dog shit, particularly in the second half when they had two total yards of offense. They led 13-7 at the half, but even that, me sitting at home, I said to myself, this is terrible, because their defense, which was dead last against the run last year, basically, they actually were stopping the run, but they gave up every single third down. 5 for 5 on the first touchdown drive, 10 for 14 for the game. They can't get off the field on third down. You can't win. You're never going to win. You're never going to beat anybody. So Seattle looked terrible. I don't know how they're going to be able to cover St. Brown and those receivers when they couldn't cover an undrafted free agent and Tutu Atwell last week. They both had over 100 yards. I mean, it just doesn't look good for Seattle right now. So I'm just going to go with Detroit.
All right. I think this is one where I have to go against the grain. This is a push game for me, but to get back in this race, I got to take the Seahawks here. And Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. CM Nick, who you got?
I'm a big Dan Campbell mark, so I'm going to go with the Lions. They look good. Defense look good, and I think the offense has enough weapons to get past Seattle this week.
I'll tell you what, Jahmyr Gibbs looks excellent, and
Montgomery
looked good too. Yeah, they ran the ball really well.
They look like a legit team. I was a little worried that the hype was getting ahead of what they were coming into the season, but they look like a solid all-around team that's going to play tough every week for sure.
Hype is real. This is the most expensive ticket in the league this week, boys. $177. Wow. You can get your foot in the Silver Dome for this one. All right. Let's move on. Ooh, I missed one. Just 1 second while I correct my spreadsheet here.
Yeah.
Everything's digital now.
Oh, that's so good.
We got no more.
We've been looking for that tablet all the time.
I know. I still got it here in case things break down.
That's for when we write our book. You know, we'll have some good documents put in there.
Yeah. All right, I missed this game here on the schedule, so I just plugged it in. Actually, no, I'm sorry, guys.
That's all right.
Big mistake.
Everything's fine.
I do spreadsheets all fucking day at work, and I just get sick of looking at it, sick of every Microsoft product. It's ridiculous what you have to pay for this bullshit that you should just fucking come with your computer. All right, this one, classic AFC South. Matchup here. We got the Colts at the Houston Texans. And
this one sounds like it should be a Thursday night game.
It really should. I'm gonna take Indy in this one. Richardson should be fine to play, I think, yeah. Right? He visits the other rookie. It's rookie versus rookie matchup.
Yeah, CJ Stroud played okay, actually.
All the rookies were not terrible. In fact, some looked better than some.
Yeah, Richardson, like, I mean, he had them in that game for sure. Yeah. Richardson played well.
Yep, I'm going to take Indy here. Len, who you got?
I'm going to go Houston. I'm a Stroud guy. I don't really have any reason. Again, I just think both these teams are kind of bad, and one of them's going to win, one of them's going to lose. The Colts did play better this week. That just makes me think that they'll probably play worse this week because I don't think they're very good or consistent. So I'll take the Texans.
Nick?
I'm going to go with the Colts. I liked what I saw from Richardson week one, and he's athletic as heck.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he scared me a little bit, Josh Allen style, taking a few hits that you can avoid, I think. You got to be careful with these guys. You want to run them a lot, I understand. But, like, they got to learn to get down or get out of bounds when they can, because they take some big hits from these big quarterbacks.
Yeah, and rookies, you know, I think as the year goes on, that's when the real challenges come. Once some of the mental fatigue and your rookie wall starts to hit, your mistakes start to build up, how do you handle it? So it'll be interesting to see. Like you said, though, I mean, he's got to be careful. Like Josh Allen just leaping over guys for no reason.
When you're going for a first down to win the game or something, do whatever you got to do. But if it's like in the first quarter and you can step out of bounds or just get down, just do it. It's so crazy that you're taking these hits. There's no reason.
I wanted to mention that. Allen had a couple plays last night where he tried to leap over guys and he was 10 yards from the first down. Like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
The throws were just horrible.
Allen just doesn't strike me as maybe the sharpest knife in the drawer outside of the football field, quite honestly. The CM Nick. This is a big one. This is a good one. This is a real good game here. You can see this one on CBS. You can get in Everbank Stadium for free if you know Tony Khan and run in his circles, okay? Yeah. Daly's Place down there in Jacksonville. Maybe slip on over there and see a mud show real quick. The Jags playing host to the defending champs. Chiefs looking to bounce back. Who you got, Nick?
I'm going to go with the only entity the Khan family is running decent right now, or too good, really. I'm going with the Jags.
Wow, Len.
Duval.
Len, put your money where your mouth is.
You know I'm a big Jags guy, man. I'm going Jags, too. I think, the Jags look pretty good. Lawrence he had a couple turnovers, but I think the next step is here. He's going to be making it. Ridley looked unbelievable. What an addition. And, you know, the Chiefs probably will have Kelce back, but there's some flaws there at receiver. Most likely, I'm not going to be surprised at all if Kansas City blows their doors off because they're they need a win too. But I'm going to go Jacksonville.
Okay, well that's bold. I'll take the Chiefs here. I was going to anyways, but I'm this is where I start making up ground on you, Len. You're going to regret that. Well, yeah, you may look like a genius, and I may even be further
in
the
know. You took the Seahawks too. I took the Lions. So
yeah,
interesting stuff.
Yeah, now we're going to get into some games here where there's some real question marks. I think here. All right, the Bears got stomped by the Packers last week. I picked the Bears. They did not look great. The Buccaneers surprised in Minnesota. You can get into Raymond James Stadium to see this one for as low as $95 down there in Tampa in the sweltering heat.
Yeah.
Gil Brandt used to say, always take the teams in September if they're playing in Florida. I got to go with Gil in this one. I got to take the Bucs at home against the Bears, who are used to that cold, windy Chicago weather. They're not going to know how to handle that humidity. Is there a hurricane coming? I don't know. Probably. Len, who you got?
I'm going to take Tampa as well. I think the Bears looked horrible, and it showed me that Fields still has a lot of questions to answer as a passer, particularly. I mean, one of the most athletic guys you'll see out there, but the passing game does not look improved from him, at least in week one against Green Bay, who I do think is good, but it's crazy. And Tampa looked good. I mean, Tampa, if Mayfield is the Mayfield he was a couple times in Cleveland, that will be good enough. The team isn't that bad. I mean, they still have Mike Evans, Godwin, you know, and they have a decent defense. They have some players there, you know, Devin White, whatnot. So I don't think Tampa's that bad. I'm going to take Tampa here.
All right, Nick.
Yeah, the Bears looked horrible. And Claypool, giving up on plays, he's a cancer in the locker room. He's just hard to watch.
I can't believe he's glad still in the locker room. Yeah, that guy is terrible.
Horrible. What a good trade by the Stairway. I'm going Bucs.
All right. Yeah, I did just contradict myself by taking the Chiefs, who are visiting Florida as well.
Yeah.
But I think Jacksonville is a little bit more north.
Yeah, right? North, very north.
Very
Florida,
north
yeah.
of Florida. Barely Florida.
They barely call it. Florida. Yeah.
Barely Florida. Okay. Let's move on here. This is an interesting one, or not, depending on how you look at it. We got the Chargers fresh off a loss against the Dolphins. Correct?
Yes.
They are visiting the Tennessee Titans this
week. All right.
And CM Nick, why don't you give us your prediction on this one?
The Chargers are one of those teams that all the talent in the world, but they always seem to let you down. But I'm going to ride them one more time. Lightning bolts.
Ooh, riding the lightning. Okay, Len.
Yeah, you know, the Chargers just going to charger. That's what they do. If you watch the 4:30 game and the Chargers are in it, it's going to probably come down to the last possession. Almost every week against anybody they play, the Chargers are going to have 1 million points on the board, 10,000 yards. They're going to look so great, and then they're going to be either up three, down three, just every single time. And then about 7 of the 10 times, they're going to blow that game somehow. So Chargers are just one of the most frustrating teams in the league. Titans, I mean, the clock's on for Tannehill. He had 3 picks this week. They lost the heartbreaker to New Orleans. At home, I think Tennessee is still in a spot where if they had capable QB play, they could compete in the AFC South a little bit with the other pieces they have around them. But I don't know that Tannehill can be competent anymore. I'm going to go Chargers here. I just but the Chargers are just so frustrating too as a team. If I was a fan, I would be so frustrating.
Brutal.
Yeah. All right. I'm actually going to take the Titans at home here.
Okay.
You can get into Nissan Stadium for $56.
What makes you want to take the Titans there, Mike?
You know what, Len? I just think they're a competent football team. I think they'll run on the Chargers fairly well. They're new back there. Tajay Spears looks pretty good. Hopkins had a few nice plays. They can get him the ball a little bit more. I just think they'll control the
game. Henry played all right. They have pieces there. Tannehill just was bad, and they still easily could have won that game, but Tannehill was bad, and it just makes me, you know, they got Willis and Levis behind them, both young quarterbacks, so I feel like there's a chance for there to be an itchy trigger finger by ownership more even than Vrabel, and maybe force Vrabel to make
a
move.
You know what, I just think this is one where they're going to slop their way to a win at home. Quite honestly, yeah. And the Chargers, that turf down there at Nissan Stadium might slow them down a little bit. Why not?
I just wondered. Why not? Hey, I agree. Why not?
Yeah.
They definitely have the advantage in coaching, for sure. Yeah. Vrabel's a good coach.
Yeah, Vrabel's great coach.
Very good. Yeah, sure. Okay. The Cardinals played surprisingly well last week. They're opening up the Red Sea and welcome in Big Blue.
Yeah.
The Giants with a...
They did not play well.
So this is an interesting one. Len, who do you got here in Arizona?
I mean, I'm going to go Giants because I just think the Giants are at least a mediocre team, and I think the Cardinals stink. But I will say one thing. Josh Dobbs, when he gets his chances to play, is a serviceable NFL quarterback. It makes you wonder, did the Steelers keep the wrong quarterbacks there? I mean, they could have kept Dobbs right now, used that pick on something else, and all of a sudden you got Josh Dobbs starting at the Stairway. And, I mean, it could be a better alternative right now. Dobbs looks pretty competent. That's all I'm going to say. But I don't like the Cardinals in this game. I think that they are trying to tank, and I think the Giants are trying to win, so the Giants will win.
I mean, if I were building a spaceship, if I were flying to the moon, Josh Dobbs is my guy. Okay, he had, I believe, an internship at NASA, an astronaut, as they call him. Very smart guy. I won't get into that Steelers quarterback situation quite yet. I'm taking Big Blue here. Nick, who do you got?
I got the Giants.
All right, Giants, clean sweep.
Save it for Stairway. We'll talk about Dobbs versus Pickett. And there's actually a segment this week, Dobbs versus Pickett.
Dobbs versus, yeah.
Mike's going to break down the present.
Duck versus Dobbs versus Pickett. Yep. You can get into State Farm Stadium for the low, low price of $22, gentlemen. Cheap.
$22?
That's the cost of a platter of food at Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, my God, that's a bargain.
Yeah, I got my sources here, guys. All right. The Jets. What can you say? 9/11 at home. The air gets sucked out of that stadium when their franchise quarterback goes down. Four plays
into the game.
Five snaps.
And old Aaron Rodgers done for the season. Potentially done forever with a torn Achilles. Mm-mm-mm. What a wild, wild. Like happenstance last night. That was just wild.
Yep. Four plays, five snaps, including the Achilles there. Came out with the flag.
Yeah.
The spotlight, the hype, unreal. Leonard Floyd gets to him, twists him up, and immediately you could tell it was not good, guys. And he's done for the year. I just couldn't fathom being a Jets fan, even walking away with a victory last night.
Such a Jets thing to happen to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I was watching live. I didn't think it looked serious at all until I saw really slow, super slow motion. To me, when he went down, I thought it was nothing. He stood up, then he sat back down. I was like, oh, he probably like rolled his ankle a little bit. Thought maybe he's pulling a little bit of a Big Ben, as we call it, trying to just drama it up even a little bit more. Maybe he'd be back in a couple series and he'd be like, oh, actually, Roger's going to play on this ankle, blah, 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 blah. But no, it was legit. His Achilles is shredded. And Aaron Rodgers is done. And I've listened to this podcast before. I think people probably know my opinion on Aaron Rodgers. I don't like him at all. I think he's supremely overrated and also a jackass. So whatever. But it was a crazy way for the season to start on Monday Night Football with all the hype. He totally bought into the Jets. 100% was all in on all the media. I mean, he was just being the best soldier could possibly be. And then boom. And now... Zach Wilson's team again, guys. Zach Wilson's team.
Jeez. They're calling us. Supposedly, they're maybe getting in touch with Joe Flacco, interested in coming back. They had Mason Rudolph rumors.
There's rumors of Fitzpatrick coming back. There's a lot of rumors.
TB12.
They had Photoshops of Brady in a Jets uniform before the end of the game last night.
Yeah. I don't think any of that's going to happen. I mean, I think they're going to add a veteran backup, obviously. But this is Zach Wilson's team this year. I think they have bought their in on him. They were in on him last year, honestly. They played him a bunch of times where people thought Mike White should have started. I mean, I think they're going to give Wilson another chance at this job, and they should, really. I mean, what else are you going to do? And they want to know. Let's give him a chance. And if he stinks, you'll know he stinks, and then you won't have to worry about him ever again. But there's no reason to bring in any of those other guys. They're not better than him. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless you get Tom Brady, but you can. But if you're gonna get Mason Rudolph, or you're gonna get Fitzpatrick, or you're gonna get Flacco. I mean, what the fuck's the point? Who cares? Just play Zach Wilson.
Because Brady's a minority owner for the Raiders now, yeah. Right? You can't just do that.
No, you'd have to
you'd
sell.
Have to sell high after one win.
He does. He saw Jimmy G play. He's, I mean, this is the peak time to sell. He probably is ready to sell.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. All right, did we pick this game?
No, we just talked about Rodgers. Who are they playing? Jets, who?
They're playing at the Dallas.
Yeah. At Dallas. So yeah. I like Dallas big time. Yeah. How can't you after that game on Sunday night?
I like Dallas as well. Nick, you do too, I assume.
Yeah, but just as a fan of the NFL, it was disheartening to see Rodgers go down before plays. Me, for the most part, I am a Rodgers guy. Throws absolute darts.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, if the NFL games were a QB challenge, he'd be one of the best. When it's wins and losses, especially in big moments, he isn't one of the best. Nice. And it's just a simple
classic
fact.
CM Nick.
Yeah, but I will say this: you're right in the sense that for the NFL as a whole, people were excited about it. It did have an overall excitement. No doubt about it. I wish he would have stayed healthy just so they could not make the playoffs like they weren't gonna anyway, and then I'd say I was right anyway. So, but now I can't even say that. Now I want him to make the playoffs so I can say Zach Wilson is actually the guy.
That roster is loaded. They did a good job drafting.
They have a good team.
But I'm taking the boys, sadly.
Yeah. So yeah, the Dallas defense looked really good. Studs. Looked really good against the Giants. My goodness. The offense didn't even have to really do anything.
Yeah, Wilson is gonna be in for a long, long day, I think.
Peyton Manning.
Patrick is going to murder him.
Peyton Manning could barely contain himself with his disgust at Zach Wilson, I would tell you. Yeah, he did win that game in spite of himself, I think. That Garrett Wilson catch was incredible.
Yeah.
Just bodied it to himself, basically. But, yeah, I think Micah Parsons and crew are going to give him a rude awakening in the Big D there. The hype's going to be through the roof for the Cowboys, I think, after this one. You just like to see a good story there. Like I said, Jordan Whitehead, journeyman, Pitt alumni, 3 interceptions against one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Gibson with the walk-off punt return for the win.
Yeah.
Even after they kicked off to start overtime, give the Bills a 3-and-out. You got to like the resolve, and that defense is still really good. Their run game looked really good too with Cook and
Hall looked unbelievable. Yeah,
yeah. So they're I can still see them winning 7 games.
Sure.
But Zach Wilson is time to shine. This is make or break time for him for sure. All right, we got the Battle of California, guys. The San Francisco 49ers flew across the country, jet lagged and all, and just boat raced the Steelers at Acrisure Stadium. They just travel, upstate? I'm terrible at geography.
Yeah, the Niners are traveling downstate.
Downstate.
Los Angeles,
downstate. Oh, Bay Area. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, San Francisco's Northern California. San Francisco's, they're traveling south LA, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know my...
I'm not good with that kind of geography either, but I do know that San Francisco is Northern California, and I know that LA is Southern California, so I know that.
For some reason, I know Europe better than the United States. I don't know why. I don't. I'm just a very sheltered child.
These teams just put it on our teams, respectively,
and
just beat the shit out of both of them, and so now they face each other in the NFC West matchup.
Yeah, I got to take the Niners in this one, though, guys. They just looked very good in every facet of the game. Special teams, kicker, punter, almost perfect. Defense, unbreakable, except for when they were way ahead and just playing prevent.
Yeah.
Offense, just cooking. So I got to take the Niners, and honestly, they look like the favorite right now in the NFC.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Niners, too. They looked unbelievable. The Rams will not be getting those undrafted free agent rookie receivers across the field. Like, the Niners are going to cover that, unlike the Seahawks, and Stafford's going to get hit more than twice, and he's going to get hit 100 times probably, and they're going to lose this game. The Niners look, unfortunately, very legitimate, primarily because Brock Purdy looks way better than you weren't sure. I mean, he was an unproven commodity, but he came right back from the surgery. And I thought a decent Steelers defense, and he made them look foolish. So, the Niners look scary as hell right now.
Yep. Nick, you got the Niners too?
Yeah, I'm going Niners. I mean, their talent is across the board, and then Purdy steps in and just it's pretty cool to see a guy like that come out of nowhere and he's that good.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Wow. All right. I like that.
Uh-huh.
All right. Just one thing about Brock Purdy, his face, I don't like it. I don't want to say punchable. You just look at his face and his smirk, and he's got it. He's got it.
I'll tell you another thing, interesting thing about Brock Purdy. His younger brother got in the game for Nebraska against Colorado after they were getting smashed by Deion's Buffs. And his younger brother was in there playing QB for the Huskers a little bit late in the second half of that game.
Oh, the Huskers are my other team. They thought they had Deion's team there for a minute. They were hanging in there until the second quarter. A
lot of turnovers from that quarterback. They're not ready yet. But I think Matt Rhule will turn that program into a competitor. I do think that. But Deion's Buffs are the talk of the town right now. I mean, Deion is the crown jewel of coaching right now in college. Everything's coming up, Deion. Gotta love it. Deion's the man.
Yeah, I had to tune into that game because, like I said, I'm an alternate. My alternate college football team is Nebraska.
Okay.
And I also was a big Colorado fan back from their glory days. I always picked them in, what was it, college football 97.
Yeah, Ricky the Fink, actually. Ricky the Fink's favorite team forever, Colorado Buffaloes. The whole time I've ever known him. So he's real excited about Coach Prime being there. Also, he was a huge Prime guy way back in the day, too. He liked him early on. So Ricky the Fink living it up right now in college football.
Yeah, shout out to Ricky the Fink. Cordell.
If you don't come on and pick games this year, I'm going to kick him in the nuts. We got to get him on here this year.
Yeah.
For sure.
He's holding out.
He's holding out, man. He's on strike. We'll get him in here.
Yep. Yep.
We'll come to an agreement.
We'll get him. Yeah. Tough. He's the biggest ratings draw in the show's history for some reason.
Yeah.
Ricky the Fink, please come back. Please. All right. This one's semi-interesting, boys, here. We got the Red Hogs visiting the Denver Coast at Mile High Field, Empower Field at Mile High, they call it. A very empowering stadium there. I'm going to take the Broncos in this one just because of the altitude, quite honestly. They looked a little bit better.
Russ looked more like vintage Russ. He played really well, especially in the first half. Had him in that game. And like I said, the third down pass to Jacoby Myers, the Broncos hit him late with a helmet-to-helmet, give him that first down, or they were going to be punting back to Russ with just about 3 minutes left. I kind of like Denver's chances of coming out of there with a win, but now they don't get a chance. So they lose. They go to 0-1, and the Commanders really struggled with Arizona, a pretty bad team. They struggled with them for a while, but my guy, Ricky the Fink's guy, Sam Howell, came up big late, ran one in. Look pretty good. I'm in on Hal. I'm in on the Commanders. I like the Commanders here to win this game.
Okay, interesting. Nick?
This is one I could have flipped a coin, but I kind of went just because of Sean Payton. I'm going with the Broncos. Let's ride.
I do not like Payton's cockiness of doing the onside kick to start the game.
I love that. I thought that was great.
I'm not a Payton guy at all. I think he's a fraud.
Payton's kind of a prick.
For sure. He is a prick.
But that was kind of a cool idea, and it would have almost worked.
It's gimmicky.
It is, but that's him. He's a gimmick.
He's a walking, talking gimmick.
Yes.
Has Sam Howell ever been this high up? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm going to say no.
Good question. Probably not.
I'm going to say no. So
probably not.
It's not a good first time there in Denver if you've ever been there. It's very, very disorienting.
Yeah, never been there, but I believe it.
I've been there, and it's troublesome. It's real. The altitude is real. We got Miami at New England in Foxborough. They get two home games back-to-back. This should be an interesting game, I'm going to say. I always like these guys. Wish they were always later in the year because I love seeing the Dolphins flounder in the snow.
Yeah.
It's always very interesting, but they get it in September. It should be.
I like the game in Miami early and then in New England late. So that way you get the advantage both ways.
Yeah,
you know, each team gets an advantage both ways. And it works out a lot like that because I remember seeing Brady down there in the smoldering heat a lot, and he'd always lose the Miami game, a lot of problems. And, this is a fun game. It's a big game. I mean, I'm going to take the Dolphins here. Dolphins with a really nice win against L.A., but again, gave up whatever, 33 points or 36 points, whatever. I mean, their offense, and Tyreek Hill in particular, is unbelievable. Tyreek Hill, the ability for him to get wide open against NFL talent is astonishing, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
He is a freak of nature. And if Tua's on the field this year, like I said, 14 games plus, this team's going to be very difficult to beat. They're going to score a lot of points, a lot. Tua looks unbelievable, throwing complete dimes out of there on time all the time. The Dolphins have a chance to be really good. I'm going to take the Dolphins here, but the Patriots did impress me. They played tough.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, the big question is Tua's health. I mean, they kept him upright without their tackle, Armstead, right? Even, I think, two tackles, actually, or a couple of linemen they were missing. They still did a good job protecting him, which is priority number one for them this year.
Yeah, just the timing. I mean, he's getting that ball out, man.
Yeah, he reminds me of a prime Russ, the way he's throwing it right now. So, I mean, he's got a way to go. I'm going to regret big time not taking him in fantasy football. I still don't know what I was thinking, but it's all I can think about is the injuries with him. So hopefully he stays healthy because he's an electric player. Nick, who do you got?
Well, even when the Dolphins were trotting out Fitzmagic out there, it seems like the evil genius always struggles against that team, and now they got a Rolls Royce of an offense. I'm going Fins.
Yeah, I'm taking the Fins in this one. So clean sweep, Miami walking into Foxborough. That means the Patriots win. Okay, all taking the Dolphins there. This one's a little bit interesting here. The Saints and their defense is going to be a tough test on Monday night. At the Bank of America Stadium, you can see this one on ESPN or ESPN2. You can get in Bank of America Stadium for the low, low price of only $37 to see Bryce Young. Are you kidding me, Carolina? David Tepper is a very generous guy. He's keeping those tickets low. He knows it's Monday. A lot of working professionals down there in the Carolina area are going to want to attend this game. Saints at Carolina. I got to take the Saints in this one. Bryce, he was just kind of mid. He's going to have some growing pains. The size is going to be a question until he proves otherwise, even though we did just talk about Tua, who's in a similar boat. I'm going to take the Saints here. I think their defense is legitimate. I think Carr is an upgrade for them. I think they have some weapons. I think Mike Thomas contributed. He stayed healthy. Rashid Shaheed is a weapon, for sure. Jamal Williams had a lot of touches, but not a lot of yards. I know because he was my starting lineup. When Kamara comes back, and who's the other guy? They got Kendre Miller. Yep. So they're gonna have some things going on there. Cam Jordan, my pick for MVP of the NFC South, is just all over television. Just one of the faces of the league right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Saints at Carolina on the road Monday night at 7:15. Nick, who do you got?
I always seem to struggle with Panthers and Saints, whoever they're playing. This was basically a coin flip for me, but I'm going to go with my midget football alma mater, the Dubois Panthers.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going New Orleans for sure. The defense looked really good, and Carolina's offense doesn't look like it has a lot to bring to the table, to be honest with you. Carolina's offense really struggled against Atlanta. I like Bryce Young. He showed some signs for sure, Miles Sanders. But I just don't think they have the offense, and I think New Orleans is actually a really good team. I think they didn't win impressively, but they beat Tennessee in a tough game. Tamp and Carr was good. Again, I love Olave. They have great weapons. I'm just going to take New Orleans. I don't think Carolina has enough offense.
All right. That brings us to the ultimate game of the week. We'll talk more about this in detail tomorrow night on the Stairway with my buddy Bad News Brian. He'll be living up to his name tomorrow as we deliver nothing but bad news and critiques and calling for heads tomorrow night on the Stairway. You can tune into that on Thursday. We'll recap week one. We'll preview week two and this game against the rival Cleveland Browns coming into Acrisure Stadium. You can get into that stadium for $100. Right now, you can see the game on ABC or ESPN Plus if you subscribe to that nice little package they have there with Disney Plus and Hulu.
Yeah.
I'm a subscriber. In fact, I'll be tuning into Disney Plus tonight for a very anticipated episode of Ahsoka.
Okay.
But let's get back to the business at hand here, boys. The Steelers
playing host to the Browns. Len, I want to know your thoughts. Kenny Pickett's going to bounce back in this one, right? And just correct the course, correct the ship here.
You know, this game is actually really interesting to me because you did get a really bad performance from Pickett and the Stairway, the Steelers. I mean, there's not a lot of good things you can take out of that game. So you kind of whatever. Meanwhile, Cleveland decimated Cincinnati. I mean, completely shut down Burrow in that offense. Watson wasn't great, but he was much better than Burrow. Played good enough. And if the defense is going to play like that, Cleveland, I thought, is going to be tough. I don't know that they're going to be that tough all year. But, you know, this game here, so the Steelers are at home again. They're home. They start off two straight home games.
And I don't know what I
see that. I really think Cleveland's going to win this game. I'm going to take Cleveland, but I would be much more comfortable with Cleveland. I'm surprised Pittsburgh's at home in this game. That kind of makes me think Pittsburgh might win because they do need to bounce back. But I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to take Cleveland. I'm here to support the Browns this year. I've always been a Watson guy. Despite his problems, obviously, I don't approve of any of that. But I do like Watson from his days in Clemson. And I'm hoping for a redemption story of sorts. So I'm going to take the Browns here.
Right, there it is. There's the beginning of the redemption story right here in the living room. Len just cracked open that door for the redemption. CM Nick, you taking our boys or what?
Yeah, I'm taking the boys. And they usually scheme good against Myles Garrett. So I think they'll be able to – and our new tackle is going to be starting, if I read recently.
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph would disagree about that scheming against
Mason. Miles. Oh, yeah. But other than that, they've done a pretty good job against him. And if Kenny Two Gloves can throw it within a foot instead of 3 foot to a receiver, I think we're going to be all right.
Deontay's out, right?
Yeah, yep. Deontay's going to be Hayward, out. Hayward's out for the foreseeable future.
Not great.
A core four, I believe, is questionable. James Daniels was in a boot.
Dan Moore was the worst lineman in all of
the worst
football.
Graded lineman, according to PFF.
Yeah, big PFF guy. I'm a big PFF guy, but they get some things wrong. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think they got that wrong. He wasn't good.
No, and he was very hyped coming out of camp as well. He had a good showing as well, holding off the rookie Broad Jones. I would think maybe you definitely see a lot more Broad Jones. I hope you see a lot more Joey Porter.
Yeah,
I didn't watch a ton of this game because it was blowout early. But
can't play rookies.
How much did they play Washington at tight end? Did they get
a good bit?
Snaps
Washington did actually very good against Bosa. He pancaked him.
Should have been in there chipping.
He should be playing lineman.
He should be in there to block for sure. There's no doubt about that. He's an advantage as an extra blocker. He should be out there as much as possible for sure.
I mean, Cleveland's going to win this game. Tune into the Stairway to find out more about why.
You keep your thoughts for tomorrow. We got to save some content.
It's panic time in Pittsburgh, ladies and gentlemen.
This is the classic RJ right here from Mike. He's bringing it out early. I don't blame him, man. They need to win.
No, it's ugly. I don't want to say panic time. Okay, it's week one. Niners are very good. But the preparedness of this team, an extra day, I don't know if it is going to fix that. There's some very red flags popping up.
It was a disturbing performance, for sure. And you can't come out of it feeling
and,
good.
And the Browns aren't the Browns of old. And my biggest concern, especially with Cam Hayward out, is they're just going to run the ball down their throats and control this game. They gave up way too many chunk yards. It's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30, 60 yard 80 runs.
Some from McCaffrey.
Yeah, I mean, just and that's when the Steelers are in trouble, is when they can't stop that run. Now, I am interested to see Keanu Benton step in for Hayward. They got to play some of these rookies. Enough of this stuff here where you don't play these rookies. You got to play them.
Yeah, you got to play.
Nick Herbig is going to be a beast, I think.
Yeah.
Get him on the field.
I want to see more from Watt. Earlier in the games, instead of when the game's out of – I mean, yeah, he made some sacks. I think they were down already, you know, a couple scores at that point. I gave him a chance to get back in the game, but I want to see him earlier. I want to see him, you know, at more critical points in the game where they can recapture momentum for sure. I want to see those ways. 3 sacks, nothing to scoff at.
Great game, but you can still have 3 sacks and not necessarily have a big impact on
that's
the game.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
He didn't have an impact on that game even with 3 sacks, really. You know what I mean? He just didn't because the game was completely one-sided.
Hand by
yeah, hand. So, I mean, you can't it doesn't really matter. Yeah, you got a few sacks. Yeah. That's great for your defensive player of the year ballot at the end of the year. But you got to – there's no – that didn't help them win the game at all.
It's, they got to come at better times. It's like Kevin Young hitting a couple dingers in a route against the Cardinals. Okay, I mean,
yeah,
this is
– yeah, the Steelers just – I mean, it's tough. You know, I know you want to talk about it tomorrow, Mike. So, but for me, like – with so much hype coming into the year, even I was believing the hype. I mean, don't, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm a Steelers hater notoriously. I like that roster a lot. I thought Pickens had a good chance to take a second step. Now, there's no reason he can't still take another step this year. It's one game. So, you know, it's not over by any means. But it was a disturbing performance and a loss, like even against a team like San Francisco, because historically, regular season games, Tomlin has his guys up for the toughest opponents and loses the games he can, like, the kind of are games they should win sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I expected a home opener up for this game. Yes. I know San Francisco is good, but they're going to battle them. I thought they were going to win the game. I legitimately thought that. And they did not look good at all.
That home opener against the toughest team on her schedule was an absolute gift.
Yeah.
The only bright side I have here is, like I said, with these injuries and underperformances.
Yeah.
You give the rookies a chance to step in.
Yeah, I was surprised when Weber told me that, like, Jones and Porter barely played. I was like, well, thought they were both starters.
That's a Steeler way.
I just assumed they were both starters.
You got on your stripes, and then now they'll have the chance to do it. Pat Pete should have just shut his mouth. He got burned on two touchdowns. He did make a couple nice pass breakups.
Yeah, and he was right there on the one touchdown. It was a great catch.
Oh, yeah,
but nonetheless, I mean, you run your mouth, and then you get taken down. Pay
the
piper.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of things that can just set the tone for the year. So I expect better leadership. I expect better preparation. Out of Mike Tomlin and crew, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. And that's the week, boys. We got some interesting matchups here. I've given myself a chance to get back into this season long battle against Lenny here. CM Nick, you made some good picks. Before we move on to wrestling talk, just a few condolences to send out. One, a former Buccaneers wide receiver, Mike Williams, fortunately passed away. And the lead singer of Smash Mouth, Steve Harwell.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, the author of our Burger Daddy theme song. So,
yeah.
Shout out to both of them and their families. Contributors to pop culture all around will be sorely missed.
For sure, yeah. Smash Mouth, I mean, they brought something to the table, for sure.
They did.
And, you know, it's sad. Young guy, pretty relatively young guy. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate. So, there's, you know. These deaths are not Mike Williams. I mean, it was like an electrical accident.
Got hit by a steel beam.
Yeah, I mean,
construction.
Yeah, just tough, man. He was a good performer in the NFL, man. Some good times, and you know, it's just rough.
All right, we'll be back after this break from a word from Napoli's.
Napoli's.
He is real hungry eating Napoli's special steak delivery. From your friends in Napoli's. Happy in Napoli's. You'll be happy in Napoli's. You'll be happy in Napoli's. Get some sweetheart wings and some pepperoni when you're real hungry with your family. Eat in Napoli's. Stromboli, calzone, get some Italian cuisine in Napoli's.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsors at Napoli. We don't need to hear it twice. The only Bill Clap Saddle approved pizza joint in the Tri-County area there right now. Len, you can get, what's the specials this week,
Glenn?
Bill
Clap Saddle special, you get two slices and a fountain drink, $5.99. That's available all day, every day. And Bill likes his one cheese, one pepperoni as far as slices go. You get one topping included there. You know, and then we have specials every day, four to close. Wednesday is one of the best deals in town, in my opinion. Any two subs for $12. That's a really good deal. So if you're around, you're hungry, get an app, please. If you're lucky, Al might deliver it. If not, someone else will. Or no one will, or you'll pick it up. Whatever you want to do.
Luck of the draw.
Napoli's is great. Love it.
Whatever you do, just don't eat in the dining area.
Well, you can eat at the dining area 11 to 3, folks. We're open 11 to 3 to dine in every day but Tuesday, which we're closed. So 11 to 3. Come in after 3. You have to take it either to go, you know, or you can get delivery. But you can't eat in after 3. often a source of confusion, even though it's clearly signed on the front window. But nonetheless, anytime before 3 you want to come in and eat, we're happy to wait on you, take care of you, and have a good time.
You know, I'd recommend just standing right there at the counter and eating, chatting you guys up while you're eating a couple slices.
Yeah.
Fun fact, my brothers did that beautiful remodel at the dining room of Napoli Pizza.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
Well, they did a heck of a job. A
beautiful dining room.
Yeah, how many skeletons are buried in those walls, do you know?
We're not going to talk about
that. We know you Italians.
Yeah,
fix up those pizza places.
I don't know what was going on back in the day there, but it's been a glorious institution in Dubois for many years.
Very interesting. Great. Yes, been around for a long time. So get your pizza at Napoli's, whatever you want, wings. It's all there. All right, boys, let's step inside and take a seat on the squared sofa for a little bit, shall we?
Absolutely.
We wanted to bring CM Nick into the show, one, because he really knows his football.
Yeah.
He really knows his wrestling, too. And most importantly, you know, he just revealed to us he's a huge Aaron Rodgers mark.
Yeah.
Okay. We all know he's a big CM Punk mark as well. Nick, let's just get your thoughts right off the bat about this whole ordeal. Who's to blame? What's the fallout going to be? Are we going to see him again? Give us your thoughts on CM Punk.
Well, the first word that comes to mind is disappointing because I'm going to Collision this Saturday at Bryce Jordan, and everybody was hoping to see CM Punk the draw.
Yeah.
But, you know, adults making millions of dollars can't set aside their differences and play ball. It's children. And when Tony Khan came out and made that statement on Collision, how he was scared and all that, I mean,
For his life, Nick.
All he would have had to say was, we tried, it didn't work, and now we're going to feature Bryan Danielson and we're going to move Collision on. To get the fans like, okay, this kind of sucks, but we're going to give it we're going to give you guys more chance. After this Saturday, the chances of me watching Collision are slim to none.
You're not even going to watch it when you're there. You're going to.
I mean, I'll have to there because what else am I going to do? But and as far as his future, I don't know if Wrestling Purgatory Impact would give him a little run or if he would even want to do that. My best case scenario as a CM Punk mark would be Straight Edge Society 2 versus the Roman Reigns' crew at Bloodline. Survivor, the Bloodline, at Survivor Series, and get one. Survivor Series hasn't been that good for a long time, but I think that would draw. That would be my best case scenario, but the main word is disappointing. And then when he says his disciplinary council decided on this, that's the Buckaroos and Kenny Twinkletoes. They were against him from the beginning. I mean, it's just disappointing as a wrestling fan.
I hear you. I've gone back and forth on this, Nick, on who's to blame here. And as much as I dislike CM Punk personally, I don't hate the guy. I have no ill will against him per se. I think this is all Tony Khan's mess. Just the way he handled it in the announcement at the show. He comes out on stage. He does a little vignette to open the show on television. The disciplinary council thing or internal investigations and whatnot. I mean, there's some lawyer speak, I think, behind that. But he fostered this. He created this environment, right? From letting guys really just walk all over him. So I got to think that there is a shred of legitimacy to CM Punk's behavior, whatever that behavior was. Did he try to choke him? Did he pull a gun on him, a knife? It's hard to believe he had some type of weapon on him. He had to travel overseas. He wouldn't have anything on his person. A computer monitor fell on poor Tony. How dramatic is this? How much have the what does Corny call them? The Cucamonga
kids. The Buckaroos. But out on the dirts, we all know we love the dirts.
Oh.
They're saying the Bucks canceled his pickup from the airport, and he was riding the tube or whatever they call it over there in jolly old England with fans. He didn't know where to go. The Bucks, they were cutting his from the knees from day one. They want him out.
Okay. Let me get in on children. That. Real quick. First children. Of all, if there's one word to describe this whole situation, Debo said disappointed. Mine's predictable. It's fucking completely predictable because CM Punk is a cancer. The definition of one, he has been for his entire career in every organization he's ever been a part of. He is a clown show now, even more than before, because he can't wrestle anymore and he doesn't draw shit. Punk is a joke. I don't care what you think of the Bucks. I don't love the Bucks either as far as in-ring performers. I think Omega's very good, but I don't care about them. But what I will say is they are 1,000 times more important to the lifeblood of AEW than Punk will ever be. He was nothing for this company except the headache. He physically assaulted multiple people in his place of work. Nobody keeps their job for that. You're immediately fired. If one of us did that at a place of employment, you would lose your job instantly. They gave him another chance. Now, did Tony Khan foster? Of course he did, because he's a fucking mark. I'm not denying that. But when he's sitting there at the press conference at Brawl Out, or whatever the fuck you want to call it, he sits beside Punk. Punk makes him look like a fool. He never says a word to stop him. But nonetheless, it doesn't mean Punk's right. He can't fucking do that to your boss. You can't do it to your other coworkers. It's a joke. So then he gets suspended, whatever, he's gone. They give him another chance. They bring him back. They give him his own fucking show. And he can't even last 6 months with his own show without trying to physically fight another person. It's 2023. He's supposed to be woke and all this shit about... He's always wearing his t-shirt supporting abortion stuff, and I applaud him for all of those things. However, you should also know then that you can't fight people at your place of employment now. It's 2023. Like, grow up. He's a joke.
Now, allegedly, we haven't seen any evidence, so this is all, you know, Len, I know you have your sources, so maybe you are right. I don't expect you to reveal who those sources are.
No, I have sources. I always have sources.
I'll just say you have sources. Yeah. Now, Nick referred to the dirt sheets. Len, you have actual sources, as I understand.
Sources.
I'm just throwing that out
credible
there.
Credible sources from what I hear.
Yeah. From what I hear,
I just think it's a joke at this point. Who would want to employ Punk at this point? There's been talk about him going back to the WWE. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that's out of the question in years from now. Not like this year, but if they wanted to induct him in the Hall of Fame in a few years, I could definitely see one more run, a Royal Rumble appearance win, maybe one more match at WrestleMania. All that's certainly on the table. Not saying I would do it, but it's definitely on the table. However, him showing up now or anything, why? They're literally hitting on all cylinders. Their numbers are up in every metric. It's a happy workplace. The people get along. They like working for Triple H. It doesn't seem any reason to disrupt that at all. And Punk simply does not matter enough in wrestling anymore for him to be of an opinion, an option.
Yeah, Nick, do you want to retort to that?
But yeah, there's structure in the WWE, and he's not going to have to worry about – Tony Khan had Sockface, a.k.a. Excalibur, choke out Jimmy Havoc and didn't do anything then either. It keeps happening, but at least in the WWE, it's in Chicago Survivor Series, I believe.
Oh,
it is.
And I mean, that would be the coolest Survivor Series for a long time.
Survivor Series last year was unbelievable. War Games with Sammy and Jay and everything.
Okay.
I mean, War Games was unbelievable.
Right. Yeah.
And also this year, it's going to be War Games, Bloodline, Judgment Day.
Yeah,
and it's going to be awesome.
I would throw a third in there with AJ Styles' crew, maybe. It seems like maybe they could get
WWE involved in some fashion.
Right? No, they only have three guys.
But if you – I mean, there's things you could do with them, AJ, the Good Brothers, and Mee Chin versus Street Profits, Bobby Lashley, Bianca.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking about for for maybe
factions are back.
Factions are back, and that's NWA. Always
that's
great.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd love.
And not just people coming to the ring with you like AEW, where like there's fucking Brock Anderson like in someone's corner, and you're like, what's going on here exactly? Yeah. Like he's like out here with fucking
Gravity
like,
and
Jade Cargill or something. Like, huh? Who? What's happening?
Commander.
Yeah, fucking, AEW is a clown
mogul,
show.
Mogul entertainment.
With or without. With or without Punk, it's a complete clown show.
Yeah, I don't want to make it seem like CM Punk is right. I think they're both very much in the wrong. I think Tony Khan has created...
Oh, I think he definitely gave him too much rope for sure.
Yeah.
But also, I agree with that. My point is just, though, like CM Punk's almost a 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do all this shit for? Like, well, just go take your check and wrestle your matches. Why do you give a flying fuck about Jungle Boy or the boxer? Who cares? Like, just show up and go to work. You think fucking Randy Orton's in there? Like, what's Tozawa doing tonight? He ain't fucking coming in my building. No, you care less. What the hell, dude?
Yeah, I mean, Jumpin' Jack Perry just wanted to use real glass in a spot. I mean, who did? They can't afford show glass.
I don't know who uses what. I don't know if it's real or not glass, but I feel like Moxley's had his hands dipped in glass about 12 times in the last, like, three pay-per-views. The whole fucking thing's shit's all over. There's always weapons.
I mean, I think that's what I'm trying to get at is Tony Khan, I don't think, would tell somebody, actually, that's probably not a good idea.
No, I don't think he would either, for sure.
I think that's where he gets walked all over, and I think that's probably what has pissed Punk off. I think they're both wrong. Yeah. I think they're both silly. And it's just an example, I think, of just an unprofessional.
It's so predictable. All around. I mean, every single thing that happened to Punk in AEW is the most predictable thing you could do. If you'd asked me months before then they said he was just coming, it was just a rumor that he was coming to AEW, I would have told you all of this shit was going to happen because Punk is a clown. He fucking thinks he's so important to wrestling, and he's not. And he was, maybe, at one day, but it was a long time ago.
When it was the least popular it ever was. Yeah, that's it was my a long argument.
Time ago. He's not important to wrestling at all anymore. And maybe in Chicago, they'll chant CM Punk, and good for them. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. He's not important to wrestling. He can't even wrestle anymore, either. He gets fucking hurt every time he wrestles. He's worthless to me. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in WWE one more time. Because I will never be surprised if you see anyone in WWE.
With that real world's title.
Maybe. Maybe he'll have that world title again.
In the garbage.
I mean, that would be excellent television to see him come back and just give him a mic. And I mean, I'm sure now after that is the problem.
Now they're really making that big push with Ricky Starks on Saturday. Oh, maybe you'll get to see some Ricky Starks Saturday, Debo. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Big Bootleg Bill, Rock.
Hired Big Bill. And
Big Bill. Hey, I'm a big Bill guy.
Yeah, me too.
I like that name is horrendous, but I do like Big Peter. Bill. I wish he was Cassidy still. Yeah. I wish he was Big Cass still with fucking Enzo and WWE. They fucked that all up. That team could have been running shit still to this day.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Bill hitting Jake the Snake with I did like that, how they teased that, and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yeah.
And they did that whole contract signing and just said Ricky Starks versus the Dragon.
Yeah. That was a good twist. And
Ricky's like, you might know me as Ricky the Dragon Steamboat or the Dragon Steamboat. And actually, it's the American Dragon. Brian Daniels. So that was okay.
That was all right, yeah.
Steamboat
knows how to work a crowd.
This is where Brian Danielson comes in. He was very highly thought of by Vince, apparently.
I love Brian Danielson. Yep. I think he'll do a good job whatever he does. He always does. But, I just think, again, the storylines just lack on AEW. They're just not good. You know what I mean? And when there is good ones, there's like one maybe going on, and then the whole rest of the show, you're like, what? Why am I watching the fucking... Gun Brothers versus the Best Friends
for no fucking reason, but
for 20 minutes. Yeah. Like, these guys get 20 minutes. It's like no one cares about this match literally at all.
Yeah.
And they get 20 minutes in the ring. And they're good wrestlers.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a bad match, but nobody cares about that stuff.
Here's four random luchadors you've never seen before.
Exactly.
Who's the AAA champion? Who's the ROH champion?
Here's like your top guy. You take someone like Moxie and he's facing Gravity, but it also takes him 20 minutes to beat Gravity. Yeah. Why don't he beat Gravity in 3 minutes? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Just walk in the ring, stab him, and pin him, and let him bleed out.
Like these guys, every match is 20 minutes, like through commercials and shit. You're like, okay, we got another commercial break here, and fucking Ricky Starks versus Brock Anderson. Like, he still drives him to the end of every match is like almost an upset. Like, okay, guys. Exactly. And then they just beat people?
Exactly. God, I can't fucking stand Jon Moxley either.
But the big news of the week, both of you guys missed it, but I mean, Nick already spoiled it, so I'm not even breaking this to the mic.
How big, lad?
But huge news. not like most girls, but Nia Jax is back, baby, in the WWE. She interrupts the main event women's title match, Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez. And out of nowhere, Nia Jax is there, takes out Rodriguez, and then stares down Rhea, and then takes out Rhea. And honestly, I've never been a huge Nia Jax fan, whatever, but I got popped. I popped for this. I thought this was just like, let's see what happens.
Okay. Didn't she come back for the Rumble or something a year or two ago?
Yeah, she was in the Rumble once. Yeah, right. Yeah. But I mean, there's been tons of rumors in the dirts that she was going to come back at some point. I don't like love Nia Jax, but I also don't think she's terrible. She's just kind of like in the middle. But, they bring her back. If we can get her some big wins or something, she'll face Rhea. She'll lose to Rhea. Whatever. Yeah, we'll move on. But, yeah, whatever. I like when someone shows up and you're not expecting it. That always pops me. And she was there.
Did she come out to not like most girls?
No, she didn't come out to anything. She came, just appeared like out of the crowd or something. Like, by the ring, yeah.
Wearing street clothes.
No. She was in her single.
All right, now I got to see this. Yeah, I have to tune in.
She was in her thing. She got there. It was like purple and black, too. So it gave a sense. Wait, maybe is she with the Judgment Day? You know what I mean? So she takes out Raquel. And you're like, oh, is she with the Judgment Day? She gets in. Rhea's uneasy, like, what's happening here? And then she takes out Rhea, too. She's there to take no prisoners, Mike. She wants Rhea. She wants Raquel. She wants that title. Nia Jax back.
That's a good placeholder for a pay-per-view, a good throwaway match there for Rhea, for sure. All right, now I got to tune in. I got to get this off my chest, guys. The LWO is just too happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if I'm right, but I've been thinking this. My sources tell me, you're going to see a split from the LWO pretty soon. I think the LWO is going to turn on Rey to cost him that U.S. title to Santos at some point. I don't know when they're going to pull the trigger on that, but it's really been angling that way in my head. So I agree with you. They're too happy-go-lucky. Rey obviously is the happy-go-lucky one. So you boot him out of there. You give these other guys some edge. Zelina was always good with an edge. You know, Santos was a better heel and the other guys don't really talk. They're just kind of guys there. But you get Santos as a heel, Zelina as a heel with the tag team, and you make him beat up Rey. Rey will get some backup somewhere and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's coming. I don't know.
Another faction, by the way.
Yeah. What do you think? You think that's going to happen? I don't know.
I do. Something needs to happen because, to me, the LWO is just...
I don't know if the injury to Santos was legit or not, but it really stopped his momentum because it really seemed like he was going to beat Theory for that belt. Then they'd switch course and Rey beat him for that belt. And then it's like, now how are you going to get this belt off Rey? You don't want Theory to have it. They don't want Theory to have it again, so they're going to go another way. Is it going to be Grace and Waller? I guess it could be. Or Santa, something like that. I don't know. But they got to do something to get this U.S. title onto someone that can make it impactful like Gunther has for the Intercontinental title. You got to get that. Like, they tried Theory. It didn't work. I don't know why I like Theory, but it just didn't work.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to get their hands on that belt that can take it, make it important again.
Yeah.
You have any ideas who you think it should be on SmackDown?
On SmackDown.
It feels like a little bit too big for Lashley, right? Like, you don't want Lashley to have it, but he's like that little faction there, but like, so also it's like too small for AJ. Like, AJ, Lashley, those guys should be like in the Roman Reigns tier.
That's a tough one.
So you got to find someone. I think LA Knight, obviously, or Grayson Waller has to kind of take that belt. I kind of think Waller would be a good option
to hold it for a bit.
To hold it as a heel and just be real braggadocious, and hold it for a little while, and make it important again because he's done great. He's great. I also think Knight could work as well, but now you have to get it off Rey to a heel, then for Knight to beat that heel. So you're already looking at a couple months there or something. I don't know. By then, Bull might have cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, that's, you know what I mean? The question is, how hot can he stay? They're still riding him.
Him and Miz again here this week. So him and Miz are going to wrestle again this week on SmackDown. That presumably, I think, would end the feud unless they get one more at Fastlane to get those two away from each other.
What about the consummate patriot, John Cena, Len?
Yeah, Cena's back. I mean, Cena could hold it for a little bit. What if he – I've said this before. It would be awesome if Cena got it and then he started doing his open challenge. Like, he's got, like, what, 5 more weeks he's going to be on SmackDown. But you have to have him somehow beat Ray. Like, maybe Ray does an open challenge. Cena takes it, beats Ray, like, in a handshake match, you know, after the end.
That would be cool.
And then Cena just does open challenge for 4 weeks in a row before he loses it to someone. But I just don't think that's the direction they'll go, but it would be fun.
And with Cena and LA Knight playing off each other, him coming at the very last.
Yeah, they could do that as a way to get LA Knight to beat Cena after 4 weeks as the open challenge guy. You could do something like that, but I just don't know if they'll do it, but that would be an interesting way to go about it.
I wish Cena would have came back as a heel.
He can't, though. I mean, he's never been.
He comes back and he says, "I'm back. And now I'm on strike because of all the screen act." Yeah, you know, this came down
like a picket sign every match.
"I'm back and now I'm striking. Now I'm not going to wrestle at all. I'm just going to be here causing problems." It would have been good, but no, that's we need to. I want to get Don Dawson in here. What we got? Fastlane coming up.
Fastlane coming up, and then
Survivor Series.
Right, and I believe before Survivor Series you'll get a. Freaking Saudi.
God, the old Saudi wild card.
As far as other stuff there, WWE Universe, the other thing that we should talk about, obviously, is tonight. I mean, you won't hear this till after it airs, but NXT tonight on Tuesday night, you got Tiffany Stratton, the future of the wrestling women's division, in my opinion, against the present, one of them at least, Becky Lynch, the man going down to NXT to defend its title. I reported this to Mike offline that this was going to be a video message between the two last week, match this week. I'm going to report it here now. I think tonight you'll probably see some sort of a DQ or non-finish where you'll get Becky, Tiffany again at No Mercy on September 30th. Or the other possibility is Becky wins tonight with a rematch at No Mercy. I think that's a distinct possibility as well. You get Becky to hold the belt for 2 weeks on NXT, 2 weeks, and then you get Tiffany winning with someone from Raw costing Becky the match. Maybe Nia Jax. I don't know.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Or the other big thing, Len, maybe Cora Jade.
Maybe Cora Jade, yeah. Cora Jade should be coming back soon. She had surgery done, I think, and she's been
resting up. Now.
Resting up, yeah. And then the other big thing, obviously the end of NXT last week. If you're not watching NXT, guys, I don't know how many more times Mike and I have to tell you this. Diva, this includes you. NXT is the wrestling show you want to be watching every week. Braun Breaker potentially killed Von Wagner at the end of the show last week.
Yet to be confirmed.
We don't know yet. The screen went black. He smashed his head with steps, between steps. He already has that. He did have like metal plate in there.
That's the key.
Is the metal plate going to protect it, or could it cause more damage maybe in there? I don't know.
I still think a head transplant is totally possible to kind of cure his self-doubt. His doubt about his body image. He's got some issues with that, some just long unresolved internal conflict there. Head transplant, headband.
I think this week, if you don't see Von Wagner with a head covered in gauze this week,
with a little blood
seeping through, I'll be disappointed. I'm going to say that. If it's in a hospital bed or at the arena, whatever, I want to see some gauze wrapped around that head with a little blood soaking through. Ideally, he'd come into the arena out of the back of an ambulance in like a hospital gown, like he broke out and Stone was driving the ambulance. Back to the arena, and he comes in looking for Braun.
A lot of potential there.
Looking for Braun, you know, and he's got that head wrapped up. Michaels is like, "You can't compete tonight, Vaughn. You can't compete tonight." And then guess what happens to Shawn Michaels?
Tabled.
He gets tabled. And then it's on.
I like that you're going to get tabled.
You're going to get tabled. It's a great, great, great catchphrase for Vaughn Wagner.
God.
And I'm telling you what, Vaughn Wagner really climbing the rankings of – just ironically funny professional wrestlers.
I mean, tabled is one of the most overused phrases in the professional world, and right next to put it in the parking lot. Let's put this in the parking lot. I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
I love it as a slogan, you know, and obviously he puts guys through tables, and him versus Braun is interesting. And just then a couple losses.
And then Corbin's on the peripheral there. So it looks like potential three-way, you would think. Maybe at No Mercy with someone get a tables match, hopefully. I mean, that's what I would do. You put those three in there, tables match, and let's get Von Wagner a big win over those two in a tables match. He doesn't have to pin anybody, but he gets a big win and puts Corbin through a table or puts Braun through the table. And then, you know, you get Von a little uptick, try to get after that title, and then you get Braun maybe to the main roster or something, and then you get Corbin moving on to something else.
And we got Wesley still chasing after Carmelo, Dragunov. You know, some nice players there.
Dragunov versus Carmelo. I think that's tonight for the number one contender. Is that tonight?
It should be, yeah.
I think that's tonight also, which is a big, really good match.
Some ongoing tension with Trick and Melo, perhaps.
Yeah, really, really good television match. You know what I mean? Yeah. Dragunov versus Wesley. Really good.
Yeah.
So, honestly, NXT is a show to watch tonight. Again, you won't hear this till after it airs, but if you didn't watch it on Tuesday, September 12th, you should, when you hear this, go watch it on your DVR or you know, whatever service you use.
Yep.
Go watch NXT on Peacock, whatever you have to do, because I think tonight's actually going to be a really good NXT show.
Yeah.
Should draw a rating, too, with Becky there, I think.
It will. Yeah. It most definitely will. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out on top of all the AEW shows this week.
Yeah.
Finally. They have never beat Dynamite in the ratings, right?
Did anybody watch? I watched the Angle documentary on Peacock. Did you guys see that on there? So, yeah, new documentary on Angle on there, just called Angle, simply.
I heard it was very good.
Yeah, really good, really good. I recommend it for sure for any wrestling fans. Really definitely, cool, because I don't follow or care at all about amateur wrestling, really. But the first, part is about a lot of his amateur career, and it so showed some footage, that I've very rarely seen or maybe not seen at all. It was cool, actually, learned a lot about him. They show him at Clarion University here, and in the Olympic trials, and show him break his neck a couple times in different ways. It's pretty interesting. So I would recommend it on Peacock if you have Peacock for the WWE. Yeah. Anyway, watch Angle. It's good.
Very interesting guy with very roller coaster story for sure.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts tonight, gentlemen? CM Nick?
Now the Collision is dead. After Saturday, I'm going to pick up NXT, guys. You sold me.
All right. I would highly recommend watching this week's. Nick, you got a couple. This is tonight at 8 o'clock. You can get home in time to watch it.
Yeah.
You're going to have at least two really good matches on there, I would think, with the women's title match and the number one
contender. As our AEW correspondent, you're still required to go.
We're going to have a best time we can without the draw CM Punk, but it is disappointing.
The good thing is you'll get people probably that can actually wrestle, like Bryan Danielson and Ricky Starks.
I'd like to see Darby out there, FTR.
Yeah, maybe.
We're hoping for the best.
I don't think Collision actually has I think a lot of weeks Collision has a good card, honestly. So while it's, you know, it's whatever, but I fast forward through and watch good portions of it.
Wrestling. I think with Danielson involved, we might be surprised here soon. I hope he just kind of focuses on.
I'd love him to get the reins to kind of do what he wants to do here. This storyline with him being maybe only wrestling one more year is interesting. You know, take on Zack Sabre Jr., even though, you know, I don't mean that match is going to be great. It's not anything that really interests me, but it'll be a good match for sure.
Yeah. Don't be surprised. Now, they're not going to get very good ratings because you're in football season now. But I'm interested to see what Danielson can do with it. And you know what I think? I think that's an interesting point is what I think really set CM Punk off was that Tony Khan comment about if I were to get hit by a bus, basically called Bryan Danielson. Yeah. I think Punk took that personally.
That might have honestly set him off. And I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And also, it's the right call. Like, who the fuck would call CM Punk if you're going to die?
But the power they gave him supposedly was he thought he was on the ends. Yeah. He thought he was the guy. And I bet that's what was the straw that broke the camel.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
All right, Len, any final thoughts?
No, just watch wrestling, man. Wrestling rules.
Yep. Good show this week, guys. We got football. We got wrestling. The two best sports in the world.
Yeah.
Tune in next week. Week three. Oh, shit. Week three of the NFL season. And then I almost have the randomizer complete there, boys. So I do want to get CM Nick and I want to get Don Dawson in here so I can run the randomizer and we can re-gimmick some of these guys here coming up.
Yeah, we got to do that soon for
sure. That sounds awesome.
I'm not sure. Is the Funkhouse recording this week or what, Len? They've been on a little hiatus.
You know what? I haven't heard from either. I bet they are, though. I would guess.
Yeah, they might be recording as we speak. So
I would guess Thursday. They usually record Thursdays, I feel like.
Yeah, keep your ears out for the Funkhouse, too. I'm sure they'll be back with the fantasy. Hopefully you did well week one. Look forward to week two, and we'll be back here for our week three picks. CM Nick, thanks for joining us as always.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was a blast.
Champter out.
Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game. We be MVP. Knowledge is power. Lend an ear for the next hour and tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. Be the best.